Hi, it's Karen Webster, and welcome to Topic TBD, our weekly show where we take a topic in payments that is both newsworthy and making news and explore the possibilities with an innovator. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Daniel Pellad, the founder and CEO of PayKey. Hey, Daniel, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
So, this is the interesting news that was made today, actually quite fresh, quite timely, and quite relevant to your business, and that is the announcement that Paytm is now incorporating chat into their payment wallet. Paytm is obviously one of the largest mobile payment schemes in India, and they are bringing chat inside of their wallet to fend off competitors who are coming into the market with chat applications and trying to integrate payments inside of that. So there's an interesting opportunity here to explore the convergence of payment messaging and, in particular, P2P. And so, Daniel, since that is your business, I thought you'd be a great person to talk about the implications of all of that. Let's start with something basic. So PayKey is about providing consumers with the opportunity to download a smart keyboard, this is through their bank, to allow P2P payments and other financial services to happen inside of messaging apps. So my question to you is, why do banks think that's what consumers want to do?
I think they think this way because it proved itself successful in many territories. If we look at China, as you mentioned, there's a big competition between the two big mobile payment applications, Alipay and WeChat. And since WeChat introduced payment into their messengers, actually they're growing at a faster pace than Alipay, even though Alipay has more users with a debit card connected and more merchants online and offline. And to me, it makes a lot of sense because from a consumer perspective, it makes sense to do payments and to transfer money between friends and family while we are having those conversations about money. So if I want to pay you back for the movie ticket or if you're buying a present for somebody in the family, we talk about it inside Facebook, inside WeChat, inside WhatsApp, and it really makes sense to do the transaction in the same place the conversation is happening. We've seen this model being successful in China. We've seen it being adopted in Korea by Kakao, and they're also growing very quickly, and now we're seeing it also coming to India.
So I see that, but what I think is different, maybe, you tell me, is that these are established ecosystems that had networks of people and trust established inside of that ecosystem. So, you know, Paytm is a network, Alipay, and certainly WeChat Pay. I mean, they have an established ecosystem that has a trust element built into it. Putting payment capabilities inside of an existing messaging app, I don't know, do consumers like that or not? I know obviously there are messaging apps here in the U.S. that are trying to do that. The jury is out whether people actually will.
I think the biggest killer from a consumer perspective is friction. This is what all of us hate. And I'll give you just an example why, to me, payment inside Messenger makes a lot of sense. If back then we had, for example, an application, send a photo between one each other, but then we were able to do this basic functionality of sending photos inside our Messenger, those dedicated apps to send photos became irrelevant because I prefer to do it where I'm having my chat conversation. Messaging today are actually the applications that have 90% of the engagement of consumers on mobile. You know, if I open my banking app about once a day or once a week, or I open Uber about once a day or twice a day, WhatsApp and Facebook are the go-to market throughout my day. So it makes that sense to do all my day-to-day activities inside these applications, and they really start to change consumer behavior And I think it's successful because consumers, they don't like friction. So if I can do the same thing but with less friction, the adoption most likely will be good. And I think this is why the messengers are so successful in entering the payment space and why it's becoming a little bit of a threat to some of the financial institutions and also some of the big e-wallets that don't have this conversational experience inside their app.
So your thinking is that consumers want the contextual experience of being able to take an action inside of where they're already communicating, but yet there are, you know, there are apps that do that already. I'm thinking of Venmo here in the U.S. Zelle is also trying to make that their value proposition. How do you respond to that as a counter, which is, you know, I'm on Venmo, my network's on Venmo, I'm probably not going to want to go back and forth between whatever my messaging app of choice happens to be and an app that I've already established as my go-to because all of my network that I pay back and forth with is already there.
Yes. So there are definitely some dominant players in the different markets, but I think what is important to realize about consumers is that they don't necessarily know what they want, but once you put it to them, they will adopt it if it creates a good user experience and if it brings them value. I'll give you an example. About 2 years ago, I didn't use GIF at all inside my messenger. But since it's been introduced inside WhatsApp and Telegram, I'm sending like 10 times GIFs every day. I remove stickers completely. So messaging are introducing new things to their consumers, and because their level of engagement is so high, I think they have an advantage here. If we look at Israel, for example, where we are based, WhatsApp doesn't have payment, and we don't have a strong e-wallet. So most of us do use the financial banking app. But if there will be a strong competitor, I'm sure there will be a lot of movement to that competitor if the user experience is good. The same thing if we look at the U.S., definitely there is a dominant player, Venmo, and now Zelle is coming into the playing field, and I think they're also doing very interesting stuff. But I think, again, if the messenger will put a lot of emphasis also in this space, they will have the edge because they have the engagement, and engagement is the most important thing within mobile. I think you did raise a point that does hurt some of the consumer experience, is that today there's different messengers. China is a very unique market because it's a king's market. There's one winner. WeChat has basically all of the users in China, more than, I think, 1 billion users. There's no competitor. But if we look at the U.S., it's more fragmented. So we have people using iMessage, and we have people using Snapchat, and people using WhatsApp and Facebook, and so on and so on. And if I really need to onboard my payment information onto each of these apps, then it's really not the best user experience. What consumers want is to track one entity and to be able to pay within any messenger they're using. And this is exactly what our technology enables. PayKey basically brings your trusted bank into all of the messengers. And this is something that I think the messengers will never be able to give to their consumers because they have a very closed garden mindset. You know, WhatsApp wants everybody to use WhatsApp, and Facebook wants everybody to use Facebook. The same is for Snapchat, and the same is for iMessage. But the banks are quite agnostic. They have the payment rails, they have the trust from the customers, and with our technology, we can bring that user experience to all their messaging applications where the consumers can choose whatever they want. And that's a very big advantage, I think.
So do consumers have any concerns about doing their quote-unquote banking and payment inside of a messaging app? Because they have to make a conscious decision to download the smart keyboard from their bank. So that's a couple of steps that a consumer has to consciously go through. Help me understand the process of getting them comfortable with that. Or are you suggesting it's something that they'll do because they want a better experience from a P2P standpoint inside of an app that they use already to talk to their friends?
So I'm going to separate this into two answers, one regarding the user experience we bring via Payti. I think third-party keyboards is something that is becoming more and more popular because if you think about it, if there's one app you use the most throughout the day, it's actually not WhatsApp and Facebook and Snapchat. Obviously, we use those, but the most used app is the keyboard. The keyboard on our mobile is the user interface to everything. And yep. Users are expecting to have the user experience they want. So, for example, SwiftKey was a very successful third-party keyboard because they enabled the ability to type without lifting your finger. They reached, I think, 300 million users. They got to Microsoft for $200 million. And there's different keyboards for different things. For example, Sunrise to add the ability to set calendar metering and GIF keyboards to send GIFs anywhere. So we are the first ones to bring it into the payment space. Our keyboard is very advanced in the sense that we have all the technology, the auto correction, the prediction engine, the Swift functionality, and so on. But we also enable all the banking functionalities, if it's the payment or to check the balance or to see what messages you have from your bank within the user interface of the keyboard in a very seamless way. So I think, especially with millennials, they are very comfortable with switching their native keyboard because the native keyboards, to be honest, especially if you look at iOS, are not as bringing much advanced functionality such as sending GIFs or typing with the Swift functionality and so on. And I think one of the biggest advantages that banks still have today, and if they are proactive and they're able to move fast, they will enjoy this advantage, is that they have the trust from the consumers. You know, today, I trust my bank regarding my financial transactions, regarding my privacy. And this is something some consumers feel less comfortable with, let's say, the messengers, because we know they monetize our data. And we also seen it when the messengers actually went to market with payments, they had some issues onboarding consumers. For example, Snapchat introduced payments almost 3 years ago, but it was hard for them to get users to onboard their debit card information. And the same issue happened for Facebook, and this is why they actually now re-enabled payments via PayPal inside their messenger. So I think if the banks are able to bring a good user experience, and they have today a more global presence than a lot of the messengers, they can actually have an advantage to the market because it's a lot about education. If they're the first one to offer payments inside different messengers in their territories, when the messengers add this functionality, they will be much less than an advantage because the banks are already there, and this is what our technology enables.
But it remains to be true that the receiver, so let's say I've downloaded the keyboard and I'm now sending money through my messaging app of choice to someone else, they have to have something on the other side to accept that, correct? So you still have to have a network of connected users with that same capability to make the transaction possible. Is that right?
So not exactly. The way a regular banking transaction works, the bank needs to know who is sending the money, and the keyboard is part of the banking app, so they know who is that customer, how much money the customer wants to send, and we know this because he's typing the amount. And then the difficult part, as you mentioned, is what is the bank account of the payee? So one way to answer that is for me to ask you to give me your bank account, and then I can complete the transaction inside the messenger. But a better way to do that is actually do a transaction to your mobile number, because I have all of my friends' mobile numbers on my phone. So if I initiate a payment to your mobile number, if the bank account, your bank account is already connected to that number, the payment will get executed. And if not, you will get a one-time notification to attach your bank information to your mobile number. So actually, only the bank that is sending, the customer sending the money, needs to have our technology. The receiving end doesn't need to have our technology. And today, there's a lot of databases that connect mobile numbers with bank information. If you look at the UK, this is Payem. It's a consortium of the banks. It's a database that connects customers' mobile numbers and bank accounts. If you look at India, it's UPI, and this is why WhatsApp now is entering this space. If you look at the US, Zelle has a very similar database, and so on. So Payke is able to transfer money to mobile numbers, meaning that the receiver doesn't need to have our technology.
I get that. So the phone number becomes the alias for the account number. How are you solving for issues of getting that payment in near real time? Because that is one of the other, you know, the challenges of P2P that I think everyone is trying to solve for. You know, even inside of the established P2P accounts, it's not just sending someone money, it's sending someone money that they can use same day or, you know, same minute. If someone hasn't connected their mobile account, their mobile phone number to their bank account, that will obviously create a delay in them getting the money, right?
That's true. And I think, again, this is a space where the financial institutions actually have an advantage because they have payment rails that are, I think, faster than some of their competitors. If you look at the messengers today, a lot of them are using, for example, MasterCard and Visa as the settlement rail. And it's not, yep, in real time. If you look at Venmo, it's actually not a banking transaction. You need to withdraw your money out from your Venmo wallet, and this takes about 24 hours. But, for example, in the UK, there is the faster payment rails by the banks, and this is instant settlement. And now in the US, introducing of the Zelle and the early warning network, this is also instant settlement. So it's takey. We don't try to solve the technology regarding the instant settlement. This is something the banks are already working on today, and some of them have good solutions. What we try to solve is the user experience. How do you initiate this payment transaction? And I think that today this is becoming at the top of the agenda for some of the things we discussed earlier, because user experience is what the users care the most about, reducing friction. And I can give just an example. If you look at the US, Venmo has about a fifth of the user base of Bank of America, but Venmo is doing times more the transactions of Bank of America, even though Bank of America has instant settlement and Venmo doesn't. And it's all about the user experience. And this is what we bring to our customers, to the financial institutions we're working with. And this is why they're very excited about our technology.
Daniel, let me ask you a question about how banks are thinking about this strategically. Because, you know, they obviously have their mobile banking app, and they want that to be kind of a, you know, the hub for banking related activity and transactions, and they can secure that that access in a variety of ways. You know, they're also looking at enabling these other schemes, as you mentioned. So, you know, a bank will have a mobile banking app. Zelle may be part of that mobile banking app here in the U.S., but Zelle also wants to have users separately in an app that that is branded Zelle. Banks obviously want to have relationships with Venmo because they want their products being used as vehicles for receiving and sending money. So are banks exploring multiple options, hedging their bets, so to speak, and thinking about capturing this P2P transaction in any way that they possibly can?
I think this is correct. I think we are seeing a lot of partnerships between the established players in this space. And it makes sense to do these partnerships from a banking perspective. If you look at Apple Pay, for example, there's a lot of cooperation there between Apple and the banks. And as you mentioned, some of the banks and PayPal and Venmo. But I think it's very important also for the banks, except for doing these partnerships, is always to work hard to drive their own mobile application and their own branding to be up to pace with the competition. Because in the end of the day, peer-to-peer is not where money is being made. Nobody wants to take transaction fee from the customers, but it's really where you build your engagement and relationship with the customers, because it's such a basic need, the ability to transfer funds between friends and family. And if you even look historically, PayPal, before they went to e-commerce, they started with peer-to-peer. WeChat started with peer-to-peer. Facebook started with peer-to-peer. Venmo started with peer-to-peer. Once you get the user base, then you're able to go to e-commerce and other revenue routes and start to monetize it. And again, if we look at the banks, as you mentioned, they're very mobile first. We understand that the phone is becoming a bank. It's really a much better user experience because I'm able to do my banking 24/7. And it also saves a lot of money for the banks because they can cut down on some physical branches, and not because they need to save costs, but because they're actually bringing a better user experience, a more digital user experience. But I think today, being a mobile-first strategy is not enough. For something that I mentioned in the beginning of the call, is that today everybody's strategy is to be mobile-first. If you look at the Apple on the Google Store and the App Store, the Google Play, there's more than 2 million applications right now. Everybody's trying to fight for the consumer's attention. But again, if we start analyzing engagement, 90% of users' engagement is just within the big messengers, WeChat, Facebook, Snapchat. So I think today it's not about just being mobile first, it's about being social first. And again, this is what our technology enables. And it's not so easy to be social first because if you don't own a messenger, you're in a problem. And the messengers, if you ask me, are not playing so nicely. You can say, if you look at WhatsApp, it's a completely closed-source environment. Nobody can do payments or anything inside WhatsApp. Or if you look at the other messengers, iMessage or Facebook messengers, they are opening APIs, but they're doing it in a way that is advantageous to them. They want to be in charge of the data, of the API, of the relationship with the banking customers. And our solution essentially enables the banks to bring their user experience to their customers within any messenger, but in complete control by the bank. So they control the data, the API, the privacy of their customers. And I think this is a very big advantage that we bring to them.
Do the banks using your technology get to brand that experience inside of the messaging app?
Definitely. Paytea is a white label solution. So from a customer perspective, he doesn't know that the technology is provided by us. From his perspective, it's all branded to the bank that he's using, and this obviously is part of him trusting the solution because it's a holistic user experience with the bank that he's using. So our solution is a completely white label solution.
Does the bank have to think about security and fraud differently given the environment? I know that fraud's on everyone's mind, and particularly through messaging channels, given the clever nature of fraudsters who can sometimes control the environment inside of messaging apps for their own purposes. Are they thinking about different security and risk strategies when they think about these kinds of applications?
Definitely. I think security is the top of the agenda. I can tell you also from our experience, the first thing, the question that comes up when we introduce a solution is regarding security. And again, we have a big advantage here because Paytea doesn't change anything from the existing banking security the way they built it today. Essentially, it's a new user interface, the keyboard, to initiate the existing APIs the banks have today and the existing security methods we have today. And I think, again, this is an advantage the banks have because their security, some would say, is higher than the credit card network. You know, if you give your public credit card number, there's a lot of fraud in that sense and a lot of messengers that introduce peer-to-peer in their messaging app had to deal with it, and this is something that PayPal is constantly working on this security element. And I think this is, again, a part that banks have an advantage, and it's about creating a better user experience but their security is good, their compliance is very good, the distribution is very good, they have a big user base, but they have to improve their user experience and especially to bring their services to where users are spending time within mobile, and this is instant messaging.
What are you seeing in terms of the types of banks that are interested? You don't have to obviously necessarily give names, of course, but are they of a particular geography or size? Where are you seeing interest?
That's right. That's a good question. So I think there is interest across the border, small, medium, large banks regarding adopting new technologies and being innovative. I think we see this with the amount of competitions that are happening in the payment space and accelerators that are opened by financial institutions. And I think this is great for fintechs. I think there is an understanding inside the financial institutions that to move fast, they need to collaborate with fintechs, and there is a win-win situation here. And this is something that we are very excited about. From our experience, the biggest success has been usually with the second biggest bank in every territory. For example, in Turkey, we work with Garanti, the second biggest bank. In Colombia, with the Vivienda, is the second biggest bank. In Norway, with Sberbank One. In Australia, with Westpac. In Israel, with Bank Leumi. So usually, the second runner is looking to be very aggressive to see how he can be innovative and potentially move to be first place. I think also the existing biggest banks are looking how they can stay where they are, but obviously with size, there is some complexity in the ability to move a little bit less fast. So it's an advantage for the medium-sized banks to adopt technologies faster.
I'm curious whether you think of yourself as an enabler of this interoperable P2P network that banks can become a part of. I'm just curious because if what you're doing is enabling banks to make this available to the sender, the receiver has an incentive, if this is someone they're sending money regularly to register, become part of this network if they're not part of the bank. And I'm just curious if that's a longer-term ambition for you guys, or whether you're just thinking of yourselves as a way to get a bank into the mobile banking P2P inside of messaging, and over time maybe that's something that will end up happening.
So that's a good point. So the way we see ourselves is, on one hand, is enabler to create a better user experience for the financial institutions that we are working with in order to deliver better user experience to their customers, and we are very focused on the social experience, because this is where engagement and really users' behavior is happening. But there is another issue that the banks are facing, is that sometimes to create a very seamless user experience, they need to be able to collaborate. And this is something that is not happening so well today because of some regulatory issues that the banks can't really communicate with one each other. So if we take the example of Venmo, PayPal, why is it so easy to send money within PayPal? Because I don't need to know your bank information. I can send money to an email address or to a phone number, and it becomes very easy for me to initiate a transaction. But with most banks, in order to do a banking transaction, I will need to ask you for your banking information, and that's a real friction. I can't send you money because I don't know that information. And also for you to give me that information, probably you will need to look it up. So an example of a solution is to create this database that connects the mobile bank account and the mobile number. So if we are working with multiple banks, we are actually ones that are able to create this database so multiple banks can use it and collaborate without actually talking directly with one each other. And this is also one of the reasons MasterCard was very excited to invest in our company, and we're working very closely with them, because also MasterCard and Visa, they see themselves as the glue between the banks. They're not a B2C company, they are B2B, they are providing a lot of technology and solutions to the customers, to the financial organizations, and this is also what we do. So on one hand is to create a better user experience in the social space inside Messenger, and our other goal is to create this layer that's really able to connect between banks, and it's also a big part of creating a better user experience and less friction.
Well, Daniel, you've certainly taken on a very ambitious but very important part of the payments ecosystem, which is really enabling P2P with the institution that consumers do align with and trust, but bringing it in the context of where conversations are happening and the messaging agnostic applications. So it's been great to get to know your insights and to get to know your company a little bit better, and the philosophy really of banks and thinking about how to play in the P2P game, which is at the moment try to be present wherever consumers want to interact with them, I guess, right?
Exactly. And just to point out, we started with peer-to-peer because I think this is the most basic functionality, but now we grew our solution to include any banking service that the user would like to do throughout the day inside his messaging apps. So a lot of the customers that are working with us are introducing more features, if it's a balance check or lending, and in the future chatbots and so on, into the user interface of the keyboard. So it's not just payment, is to be able to have your whole banking experience inside any app. And I think if you do successful work and if you continue to grow at the pace that we are growing, we just raised our Series B round and we are very excited with the additional investors that joined us. I think PayKey can potentially become the front end to a lot of the banking mobile applications we're working with, and we're very excited about that prospect.
Well, Daniel, thanks again for giving us your time and the benefit of your insights. It was an enjoyable conversation. Thanks again for your time.
Thank you.
And thanks everyone who listened. We'll see you next week. Have a great rest of the day and a good weekend. Bye-bye now.